Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress. Hope for
all. I want to thank God for the blood. Give him another hand, if you will, for this first Lord's Supper experience. Amen. Get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear from you. We need a word from you, God. Speak to our hearts in such a way that we will know it is your word. God, we pray for each and every person present. No one here today is here by accident, but by divine providence. And God, unstop our ears that we may hear you in our inner ear. Open our spirit that we may receive from your spirit. God, minister to us as only you can. And God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. God bless, God bless. Certainly this word today, my brother, my sister, is for the believer who is going through situations, circumstances, problems, and issues that may have been in existence for some while, some challenges that don't seem like they're going anywhere soon. Some things that it just don't seem like God's going to work out, or that it's not going to ever work out, and you're going to have to deal with this for the rest of your life. And God's been dealing with me all week long on this, and I want to challenge you. It's a question that has seven words in it, found in Genesis chapter 18, verse 14. But there are seven of the most pointed, seven of the most powerful, and seven of the most prolific words you'll ever be asked. And it simply says, is anything too hard for the Lord? You may be seated. Is anything too hard for the Lord? My brothers and sisters, when we examine the question, there are things about this question that evokes from us an answer from within. Not a surface answer, because as believers, we would readily say, no, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But the reality is, do you really feel that way in your own life, in your own experiences? How many times have you had folk tell you while you're going through, oh, just trust the Lord, everything will be all right. And they've never gone through what you've gone through, dealt with what you've dealt with, feel what you feel, know what you know. But yet the words sound good to say. But the reality is that there are some things that must be cleared underneath the skin before the answer can really be manifested in our lives. This is one of the most fascinating stories. It begins with Abram, who was a heathen whom the Lord spoke to. In speaking to him, challenging him to come out of his heathenism, from his family, friends, land, home, etc., and to follow God. God was pleased with his faith. Because I think I need to tell you, my brothers and sisters, that you'll never ever please God if your faith isn't right. And so it was through this faith that he demonstrated in God that made God make him the father of faith. And so as a result of that, it's important for us to look at some things that will help us to understand this story better. How many times have the Lord asked us to do a thing, this or that, or move in a certain time frame, and we question whether or not it's God, because it takes us out of our comfort zone. It challenges us where we are and where we're used to being, and it removes from us our safety net. How many times do we question whether it's God speaking or the devil speaking? How many times have the Lord spoken in his own unique voice that's known to his children and said, I want you to give certain things in the offering time, and you start rebuking that devil? I rebuke that devil. You just get all worked up, and that can't be God asking me to give this much. And God ain't going to do that. No, the devil ain't going to do that. And so we don't trust God because he takes us out of our comfort zone. And we've got to pray and pray and hear and wait and tarry and all of that because we're not comfortable with the voice of God commanding us to do things that seem impossible. Well, one of the things about this story is God tells Abram at 75 years old, leave your surroundings, leave your family, leave your home, leave your country, and go where I'll tell you. His wife, Sarai, is 65 years old. Now, how many folk you know that's 35 and 25 years old would just uproot everything they got and move across country because God said? And then he does not tell them when he tells them to go where they're going, just in the direction that they're going. And yet they trust him to go. People ask him, where you going? Well, I don't know. Now, that sounds like something is wrong with you. You a special bird. Something ain't right with you. But that's the way God moves with the people of faith, people who are believers. Now, one of the things that, again, I want us to look at and examine in these seven words, is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, at the time appointed, I will return according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now listen to this, because he asked this question because Sarah laughs in the tent. And when she laughs as to doubt that she could have a child, though this is not the first time she has heard this, she and Abraham have been told this, but God delayed the promise. And so 14 years after he originally said it, they thought that God needed help. So Sarah took her handmaid servant and gave to her husband for the purpose of having a child to help God with the promise. Now, God comes back to him, Abraham, and tells him in the 17th chapter that Sarah is going to have a baby. He falls on his face laughing within himself, 17 verse, telling God, Sarah's going to be 90 years old and I'm going to be 100 having a son now. I'm not doubting you, but I just find that hard to believe. Now listen at this. One of the things that I want you to see immediately about what this question evokes. The first thing it evokes is a change of focus.
All right.
Change of focus. Now, when God divinely visits Abraham in the 18th chapter, and he begins to tell him this all over again, and Sarah laughs, and he asks, where is she? And he says, she's in the tent, and she hears this, and she laughs, and God makes it clear that he is going to do this. The question now comes up, why are you laughing? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So the first thing it does is it begs to change the focus. Now I want to throw this out for us parenthetically, because what it says to us today is the reason why we think things won't work out for us is because we focus more on our problems than on God's promises. We focus more on the problems than our promises. First of all, let's look at, there were three major problems that Sarah and Abraham had. The 11th chapter and the 30th verse of Genesis says that Sarai was barren. So the first problem is she couldn't have any children. The second problem is in the 18th chapter, verse 11, it says that she was past the reproductive years, which is common to a woman. She had passed menopause. So even if she could have children, all her eggs were dried up now. And there would be no need in fertilizing what cannot even begin to live. So her second problem was, even if she could have a baby in her younger days, she's past menopause, her body has stopped reproducing, so she couldn't have a baby if she wanted to. The third problem is, in the 17th chapter and the 17th verse, is the fact that Abraham says she's too old. She's too old. Now her husband is saying, she's too old. She's 89. She'll be 90 years old when she have the baby. I'll be 100 years old when she has the baby. I just don't see this. Now listen to this. Why don't you see it? Because you're focusing on the problems. Can I tell you, the problem puts blinders on you. It won't let you see past the problems to see the promise. You've got to hold the promise in your heart. You've got to be able to know that God has said what he meant, and he's meant what he said, and he's going to back it up. You've got to trust him for his word and know that he's not a man that he should lie. So if God promised it, listen, it's on God to bring it to pass. See, my problem tells me I got to fix it. I got to work it out. I got to put my hands on it. I got to do it when it don't come when I think it ought to be done. I got to do something about it, because it's going to make me look like a fool because I told people what God told me. Well, maybe you ought to shut your mouth up and just let folks see sometime what God told you. But listen, that's what happened. They got all excited. And when God didn't do it, they thought God needed their help. So the problem is, they focused on their problems rather than the promise. God affirmed, reaffirmed the promise that he was. Matter of fact, if you start at the 12th chapter, verse 2 and 3, lists seven promises that God will do for Abraham. And so you remember that starting from there, all the way through here, he keeps reconfirming it.
That's right.
In other words, he's saying to them, I've not forgotten what I promised you. That ought to be encouraging to somebody right now who's been waiting a long time on what God promised them. that God has said to you, I've not forgotten what I've promised you. Here's the second thing. Not only does this question, is anything too hard for the Lord, a probing question that changes our focus, but it challenges too our faith. This question challenges our faith. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, when your faith is challenged, when you get to an impasse, when you get to a place where you don't know which direction to go, when you get to a place where you don't really know what to do, when you get to the place where you're not real sure about how God's going to work this thing out, the first thing you do is remember what he's already done. The old folk put it this way, count your blessings, name them one by one. See what the Lord has done. And that's documentation. You see, our problem is we don't document what God has done in our lives. We take for granted what he does in our lives. And because we don't document it, we don't see the big things and the medium-sized things and the little things that he does every day in our lives. If you just stop and start counting your blessings daily, you keep a journal of the blessings of the Lord every day. When you look back over the course of a day, of a week, of a month, of a year, of the blessings God has blessed you with, when you document what God has done, it builds your faith up for what is to come. How quickly we forget what God has done for us. How quickly. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits, for all he's done? What shall I render? Because most of us forget what God has done for us. So not only is there documentation, but as you count your blessings, you'll discover duplication. How many times have you gotten to the place where you didn't know where to turn and he guided you? How many times when you ran out of money and you had more month and he still fed you? He still kept a roof over your head. He still kept wheels underneath your feet. He still blessed you and took care of you. How many times have you come to a place where you didn't know what you were going to do, and the Lord brought you out of that thing again and again and again and again? You look at the record and you'll see it ain't the first time he's done some impossible things for you. Some of you can look back and say, if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, tell me, where would I be? That ain't just one time, that's many times.
Amen, amen.
God keeps on blessing us over and over and over again. And so duplication is a part of what we need to remember when God is challenging our faith. Documentation says it's already been done.
That's right. That's right.
I ain't talking about what I think. I'm talking about what I know. Yeah. Duplication is where I look back and see he's done this thing over and over and over and over again. So what does that tell me? What he's done once, he can do again. How many impossible situations have I come before this impossible situation, and the impossible situations I came to before this impossible situations were made possible by the same God that's asking me right now, is anything too hard for him? See, what you need to realize is your challenge of faith always takes you to another level, which means your faith must increase to that next level, because that next level is where your challenge is. When you came through what you didn't think you would come through, that means you got promoted. And God is not going to test you down there no more. He's going to raise the test level up here to challenge you. So what else? Okay, there's documentation, there's duplication, mm-hmm. but then there's determination. Yeah. Uh-huh. How many times have you had to encourage yourself?
Yes, sir.
In the Lord. You felt like giving up. You felt like throwing in the towel. You felt like turning around. You felt like saying, I quit. You felt like saying, ain't no sense in getting out of bed. You felt like saying, I don't know if I even want to go on any further. You felt like saying, I just.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Sometimes you just waved your hand.
That's right. Uh-huh.
That's right. That's right.
Because it was more than you could bear. It was overwhelming. But then you remember the Lord was your shepherd. And you shall not want. You remember the Lord was your light and your salvation. Whom shall you fear? You remember the Lord was the strength of your life. Of whom shall you be afraid? You started remembering that God was able to do anything but fail. And your determination to believe him, to press, to push on, to come out of this thing with your hands held up high as the victor and not the victim caused you to make it through another day. And the next day was better than that day before. And somehow you could see clearer now because the rain was gone. And somehow underneath your skin, you felt a song said, I believe I can make it. I don't know how, but I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Determination. When your faith is challenged, you need to know. You've got to have determination. There are just some things God's not going to do for you. You're going to have to do for yourself. You need to get ready, listen, to turn out the light and tell the pity party it's over. People don't want to hear all that moaning and groaning about, man, you know, when I get folk coming in my face, I don't know how you can do it. I'm sure you don't, brother. It's by the grace of God. I don't want no pity party. Nobody feeling sorry for me. Listen, what God is trying to show you is when you go through your situation, you got to have the faith and the strength and to know this too shall pass. You got to be able to know that God got some modern day Jobs and some modern day Jonas and some modern day every other prophet and person in the Bible in this day and time. God is still using people today. And listen, I got news for you. If your God can only take care of you when things are good, you might need to look at mine. Because he promised never to leave me nor to forsake me. He promised he'd be right by my side. Everything I went through, valleys and mountains, he was right by my side. That gave me determination to keep on. Oh, there's some mornings I just don't feel like. I don't feel like. Sometimes I'm hurting from my feet to my face. But every now and then I hear something on the inside saying, fight on a little while longer. Everything is going to be all right. And I keep on pressing and pushing because of determination. This is not how the story is gonna end. And the sooner I fight, the sooner I press, the sooner I get to where God is taking me to, this part will be over. But it can't get over till I get up and get on. I wish I had a helper in the house. So what I'd like for you to do is pray with me.
Yes,
stay with me.
Yes,
but I don't need no sympathizers. I don't need no pity party because I ain't got time for that. I'm looking at the picture that God showed me. And it looks a whole lot brighter and better than now.
Yes.
I'm talking about you now. I know you think I'm talking about myself, but I'm talking about you too now. So determination. So now, not only is there a change of focus and a challenge of faith, but look at what this question also probes and says to us, that God will customize your future. Somebody ought to give somebody else a high five, a hint in the side, a praise the Lord, a look at him if you can, or something. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Listen, he says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee. God is saying, listen, I've told you I can handle everything. I can handle anything. But I'm going to leave you alone for a little while. But I'm coming back to you. And I got news for somebody. When God leaves you alone, it's just enough time for you to do what you're supposed to do. God specializes in the impossible, but he expects you to do the possible. So that means he's got to give you time to do your part. So now he tells Abraham, he says, at the time appointed, I will return.
That's right. That's right.
Then he says, according to what?
The time of
what?
Life.
Of life. Uh-huh. And Sarah shall have
a son.
Uh-huh. Now let me just say it, throw a few things that I know out. First of all, Genesis 12, beginning at verse 10, when there was a great famine in the land, and Abraham went on down to Egypt, and he had Sarah with him. He told Sarah, he said, baby, listen, we need to tell these Egyptians that you're my sister, because you're one fine sister. The Bible says that she was fair, that meant beautiful and goodly to look upon. He said, tell him. Now that was a half truth, but a whole lie. Because she was his half sister. But she was now his wife. Listen, she wasn't his mother's daughter, but his father's daughter. So listen, so he tells her, tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me for you. Some of Pharaoh's seekers saw her, brought her to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was taken with her and took her from Abraham, who said, that's my sister. But listen at this. And Pharaoh started blessing Abraham with all sorts of things. It's all in the text. But here's the point I want to bring out. Sarah was 65 plus at the time she blew Pharaoh's mind. Yup. Listen now. Sarah had it together at 65 plus that the Pharaoh wanted her for himself. Now listen. At 89, Sarah put women at 39 to shame. Yeah. Listen. So Sarah hears this in her tent. She starts laughing, saying, shall I have pleasure in my Lord in this old age when I've waxed old? But she heard it for herself. And God told it to Abraham. Now listen to this. God was going to do the impossible. But what did they have to do? This ain't turning X-rated. I'm just asking you. What did they have to do? Their part. The possible.